Okay, so tonight we are looking at the fact that we have a very lying world, which we've always known. I mean, that's nothing new to us, really, from that standpoint. We looked at what Paul had to say about lying, and really what we found out was in the gospel days, you lie to God, and he's going to take care of you. And he did. He took care of Ananias. Hang on. There's a sneeze coming on here. Maybe a couple of them. Hang on. Cold is still there, but I'm feeling better. That's a start. And we'll get this Annie thing over with. I'll probably relax some. Okay, so, but Paul doesn't, thou shalt not lie. He doesn't get into that kind of a thing with us. He just says he's reminding us that he is not lying. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ knoweth that I lie not. Now the thing which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Then he reminds everybody that God cannot lie. He says, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. So he's telling people he's not lying. And why would he? He's been up to the Lord anyway, and he's just got everything to say, so he's not lying to us. So then we get into the different Bibles and how they all take away God's promises. So God doesn't look like a liar, but they take away his promises. So we talked about that kind of stuff this morning and the condition we are in today. You know, all the things that are going on, canon or sound doctrine, all the stuff we hear over and over and over from us anyway. So let's look tonight at the word deceive. And maybe I'm just thinking of myself, but everywhere I look, it's like I don't trust anybody anymore. I don't trust to hear the radio guys. I know for a fact that they're not telling me the truth. Are they lying on purpose? Are they lying to deceive us? Well, in lots of cases, the news has been written to actually deceive us. They actually lie in wait to deceive. I mean, they're just putting together news that is not true by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So we know that that's what's taking place out there. And he says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So let's not follow these evil communications. So what kind of evil communications? Anything that communicates the lifestyle, the media, the whole thing that we see and we learn from or we hear from or we follow from or whatever. And it's more obvious today that the communications we have out there is evil. It wasn't as obvious 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. Just watch an old Ozzie and Harriet or a Grace and Bercy, Grace and George and Grace, or George and George Burns and Grace Allen, Gracie Allen. Those are small things in there, but they were still, nonetheless, they were very, very serious, putting the guy down, bringing the woman up, being the right one, and the guy being stupid, to where now we've got TV commercials where the guy is actually washing clothes, doing the laundry, and picking the laundry soap and the whole spiel. Well, she's out there coming home with her suit and tie, which is funny to wear a suit and tie. Look at all the perverted lifestyles that take place on television and in the movies now. Everybody thinks, for example, Robin Williams is such a funny comedian. But has anybody ever seen him actually blast God with his comedy? Any of those guys that are out there, this community is corrupting good manners. Manners meaning manner of life, good manners. It's corrupting our children. These tech things, what are those? Those are communications. Those are evil. They corrupt good manners, manner of life. It's corrupting our kids. Our kids, and I verify this, or whatever the word is, justify, verify, I can vouch for, whatever, the fact that our kids, at least in our school, are not capable of thinking beyond what they can't think anyway. Remember the stuff about God not holding teenagers accountable until they were past 19, and there's scientific proof for that as well as spiritual proof, historical proof. But still, beyond that, it's created extremely lazy kids. And now you read about how these phones and all these things are actually making our kids become more and more nearsighted with eye problems. Well, they got to hold it in front of their face to play those little bitty things. Anyway, point being is that we are very in a time where is obviously evil. But only to those who are, here we go, King James Bible, rightly divided, Paul only, not Paul and Peter together, which is what the Gospels are, Peter, and Paul is to the New is the actual New Testament since the death of the testator, Hebrews chapter 9. I think it's Hebrews 9. Yeah, I think it is. And I made that comment this morning about why would a Catholic church call it St. Peter and Paul Cathedral? It's Peter and Paul? The last thing, those two guys don't mix at all. Catholic Church is mostly Peter, but why do they... I got to find myself a Catholic. I'll write to a church somewhere. You know, why do you bring Paul into this when Paul's doctrine is so different than Peter's? Or whatever. And we have plenty of Catholics and Lutherans around here, believe me. So all we got. So we are just as Paul guys. We have to be aware that there's deception everywhere. There's deception going on in the schools. There's deception going on in our government. There's deception going on in politics. There's deceptions going on within the family, our kids. Remember the slogan our kids have around here is deny until I die. You know, they're denying stuff. They're lying. And so, Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, flip page. There we go, page number, verse 11. For sin, taken occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. And I don't think many people realize that sin is something in itself. I mean, it's in us. It's not just a thing that we kind of are. No, it's in us. And when we get that operation made without hands, most of us call it the spiritual circumcision, whatever. There is still sin in our flesh. We've been separated from it. So it's actually an existence. It exists. And Christ took care of that when he fulfilled the law, Romans chapter 10. How many people talk about that? And they look at you like, what in the world are you talking about? Circumcision, you know, makes people go, well, we can't talk about that, although nowadays people talk about anything and everything. But spiritual circumcision, that's what we want to call it. It was an operation made without hands, which makes it a spiritual thing, and yet he separated our flesh from our soul. Well, why? What's the point? Well, because it's the sin that is still in us that does these things that we don't want to do. And he says in Romans chapter 6, the second half of that chapter, by the way, tells us we don't have to follow it anymore. The first half of the chapter tells us that Christ took care of sin. It's done with. If there is no sin, then there is. If there is no sin, then there is no transgression. No, if there is no law, there is no transgression. So he took care of sin by taking care of the law, and now we can choose. So this sin that is in us, that's what does the stuff that we do today. Now, we could casually just kind of poo-poo that whole thing and say, well, it was the sin that was in me that did it. Well, yeah, that's true. But then you got to ask yourself, well, why did you follow it now? You didn't have to. We've been cut away from that. Why did we choose to go there? Why did we choose to do that? Why did we, you know, well, we just do. And Paul himself said, get the quote exactly here, he knew the battle he had all the time. I mean, Paul, who was the worst person in the world as such, killed Christians all over the place, tortured and persecuted them and all that sort of a thing, yet he becomes the greatest Christian in the world? Meaning by what? By he walked a sinless, perfect life? He was able to obey the Great Commission? He was able to obey the Beatitudes? Not at all. Not at all. Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body, this body of this death? He says, so then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. He knows what's right. He knows what pleases God. But with the flesh, you know, the law of sin. That sin is still in us. And these modern Christians, these modern Bible Christians especially, who think they're just doing everything right now, and every now and then Jesus has to carry them through the sand, you know, the footprints, footsteps get to one again, because he's carrying us. That's just modern Christian bookstore, house of thieves baloney. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So, we really need to just be able to get over the dumb stuff, the wrong stuff that we do. You know, God is not going to punish us. I'm just winging my thoughts here now. God is not going to punish us for it. He's not going to burn our house down or kill our kids or give us cancer or whatever that everybody wants to get mad at God for. But that stuff is going to come up in our judgment seat of Christ. And he can tell that to people. They don't even know anything other than judgment of God will get me. I'll talk him out of it. I can talk good. I got some questions to ask God. Yeah, right. That's an amazing thing when people talk like that. But they're really just ignorant. They don't realize that our works that we're doing, and we shouldn't be doing those because people see them and they think, well, why did you do that? Well, I can, but you caused them to stumble. So he really, well, that's their problem. No, we shouldn't have caused them to stumble. We have, all things are lawful, you know. But anyway, you hear me talk about this all the time, too. So, let's get back on the trail here. So that thing about sin that's in us is just an amazing, amazing thing. Hard to get back on the trail. This thing just so bothers me. These modern Christians who think they're doing so well, and these ladies, I know, Julie, you're going to get tired of this, and you're going to get tired of me talking about this lady stuff. The most frustrating thing I deal with in so many cases are just these Christian women, and Paul says they're honorable and devout. I mean, they really got it together in their little minds. And Jack Hiles, who, of all people, biggest Sunday school in the world, taught this kind of stuff, that the lady is the Holy Spirit of the family. So, you know, when mom's not happy, nobody's happy. Well, I guess that's true these days. But anyway. The sin taken occasion by the commandment deceived me. Yeah, and we still are deceived by it. That's the frustrating thing. We don't need to be. But thankfully, at least it can't slew us. It can't slew is past tense, so slow. Slough? I can't think of it. And by it slew me, past tense, it slew. Anyway, never thought about that one. Okay, Romans 16, verse 18. Hey, Sam, how are you doing? Good to see you there. Romans 16:18, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. We're talking about the deceivableness today of today's world. It's always been deceivable, but nowadays it's so obvious, it's so outwardly obvious, and yet people are still deceived by it. And here, this one, by good words and fair speeches. So along comes this Paul guy who says, well, that guy's not telling you the truth. He's a nice guy. He's a good speaker. He's got good things to say. Vinyl Cafe, I don't know if you hear that out in that part of the world or down south or out east or whatever. Vinyl Cafe by somebody, I don't know who does that thing. Guy's a good speaker. Very good. I wish I could be a speaker like that. And he doesn't have anything to say as far as any truth goes. He's just a good speaker, fair speeches, you know. You got these pastors that are very good speakers. You got all these sorts of people out there. They're just good speakers. Well, they're fair speeches, and they deceive the hearts of the simple. They're deceiving people here. Oh, here's another one that's so hard for people to grasp. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. And the only way that one of the ways you can be deceived yourself is to be flattered all your life. And the schools are famous for flattering kids until they get to be in the junior high school years, and then we wonder why they are so in love with themselves, because we have told them for the first 6 years that they're marvelous little human beings. They do no wrong. And when they do something wrong, it's usually the guy that wasn't doing anything wrong that gets the blame for causing this guy to pick on you. It's your fault. So if any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool. How do you become a fool? Rightly divide a King James Bible and stick to Paul only. Now you become a fool real quickly compared to this world. How many guys have given up a good job or had a good job taken away from them or whatever when they went to the King James Bible only and they went to Paul only and they tried to change their lives like Nehemiah trying to change that wall and those six enemies popped out of the woods and tried to get after him. Nehemiah became a fool. We become fools. So let him become a fool, and then when we become a fool like that, then suddenly we have our eyes enlightened. We are wise, based on the scriptures, of course. Now this 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, all sorts of different things you could talk about in this verse. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That's that spiritual kingdom, inheritance kind of a thing. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. And it goes on, okay? But what I just want to point out here, you know, you've got these abusers of themselves, and boy, they're all over the place. So the tattoos and the body burns and the pickers and the, you know, not the pickers, we call them the metal themselves and all that stuff. But the one effeminate. Nor effeminate. Effeminate. Not quite gay, as they put it, but not manly. Effeminate. Anyway. So don't be deceived. But yet, see, when we become a Christian, a legitimate, spiritually circumcised, operation made without hands by faith in Christ, for Christ took care of the law, and we receive His faith and His righteousness, etc., etc., then even if our flesh still does these things, we're okay. Well, we got some stuff to burn in the judgment seat, though. When I say okay, only in the fact that God isn't going to get us for it. It's still wrong. It's still a work of the flesh. So works of the flesh will burn. So we got these guys on the street corners preaching to these guys that are fornicators, adulterers, and they're feminists and abusers of themselves, and the list goes on, that if you don't stop that, you're going to burn it. No, that has nothing to do with it. I don't know why they do that. We have already talked about 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications. We are so deceived by these techie things that we have, for example. I was going to give a story of my son, but back, I guess I will. Back when he had to go to Mayo Clinic, when he had to have his face removed and a tumor taken out of there and his face restitched back onto his head, or whatever. That was the first time that we gave in and let him have, I think they were called Game Boys in those days. First thing that kind of came out was a Game Boy. We figured he wasn't going to make it through the operation, so we went ahead and gave him a Game Boy. And then that's what gave him the okay to get into these tech things. How are you going to stop it, you know? But anyway, he's into that now to where he actually plays with people across, around the world, you know, and plays them in games and da-da-da-da. So, and it does, yeah, it has affected them. Of course it has. Galatians 6:3, very similar to 1 Corinthians 3:18. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So 1 Corinthians 3:18, if any man among you seemeth to be wise in the world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. And here, be not if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Hang on. Still there. Okay, sorry about that. I think there was one more back in the burner here. Hang on here. Okay. Ephesians 4:14. I mean, we're living in a world of deception. We're living in a world... Hang on, here we go.
Come on, let's just get it over with.
Nope, it's going to hang around, and I'm going to wait for it to just suddenly pop out. Ephesians 4:14. And this has a lot to do with the Paul people. Because if you put your faith and trust in the risen Savior, and you turn to Paul for your apostle, and you learn from him in his manner of life, etc., doctrinal stuff, then that's called growing up. Then we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. And my point, one of these days, if I ever get the pizzazz to preach that, to teach that sermon about the Paul guys that are out there, so many of them, that we are still capable of being tossed about by doctrine, wind of doctrine, every wind of doctrine, within the Paul world just as well. And then it finishes this off, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We said that this morning. You don't think God's going to infiltrate the Paul world and try to get people to, you know, learn the wrong stuff and be a deceiver and get people to turn to another Jesus still? Not another Muhammad, not another Savior, to another Jesus, Paul warns about. And sleight of men, tricky little buzzards, aren't they? And cunning, they go to school to learn how to be this way, cunning craftiness. They lie in wait, just like a cat waiting to pounce on a bird. Lie in wait to deceive. They're just waiting to get us. And nobody, no better target than a Paul guy who's into the grace thing or into the church history, doctrinal stuff, but doesn't get into the manner of life and to do and what does Paul say there in Philippians chapter 4? Let's check it out here. Philippians chapter 4, he says, those things, let's see, which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Paul's big on doing as a Christian. I don't think many of these people say want to talk about it, and I can understand why, because everybody doesn't want to hear it. For let no man deceive you with vain words, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, words that mean nothing. And all I can think of more is still flattery. Flattery blinds, it says in Job, I think it is. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. That's the lost world. That's the Michael Jackson children of the world. We are the children. We are the world or whatever. And these people are deceived with vain, worthless, flattering words. And we see it all the time. We see it with our own kids. How many kids would rather have a parent that just tells them they're doing great, honey, did a great job today, you look good, da-da-da-da, and you're dressed horrible, you know. That's okay. If you're happy, then I'm happy, then you look really good, and off they go. And they'll receive the wrath of God. That's just the way it is. Let no man deceive you by any means, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except... And that's the coming of Christ, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. So until then, man, we have to do everything we can not to be deceived. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So everybody says, well, the world's getting better. Well, it must be those vain, flattering words that's getting you to think that way because it's getting worse and worse. And then to finish this up here, in Titus chapter 1, verse 10, there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Now, he's talking here, this is the crowd, this is the Jewish crowd, they have the circumcision, who are the religious Pharisees as such. But I still look at this as the gospel that people are following today, if they're following anything, it's the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, first eight chapters or first seven chapters of Acts. Or they get back into, you know, first, second, third John, they got James, they got First, Second Peter, and Jude. They get into that stuff. And that's all Jewish doctrine, either during the Gospels or during the Tribulation. So I look at this, I apply this to the Gospel crowd today who are looking at the Jewish Gospel. There are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially of the modern Christianity bunch. The circumcision. Not the spiritual circumcision bunch. The Jewish gospel circumcision stuff. So the people out there that probably bother me the most are the modern Christians. And we have them here at school. They're everywhere. They're doing Bible clubs. You got CC after school, the Catholic catechism or whatever. You got the Bible one during the day. They got different Bibles and they're just teaching junk, wrong stuff. Yeah, they're unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. So, we're aware of that. And this whole thing tonight has been about this lying, deceiving world. We have to remember that much of this deception comes from within our own circles, our own little neighborhood, our own little family gatherings in small towns, you know. Pretty rough stuff to deal with. Unless you just ostracize, just ostracize yourself and let her rip and tell people all about it. Well, I've been able to get some headway of the different little people, different places, different little things, but sure has been slow. But, oh well. So, anyway, there are some comments about the lying this morning that Paul talked about. Paul mostly talks about the fact that he is not lying. And then tonight we just looked at all the deceivers that are everywhere. We just have to remind ourselves and constantly remind ourselves that there are deceivers everywhere. And they're sneaky about it. They're nice people. They got good words and fair speeches. Can't forget that bunch. And am I one of those? That's what people probably say I am. The only thing I would do is I would say, well, let's get out our Bibles and let's see if what I'm saying is wrong. Because if it is, let's fix it. But if it isn't, then you turn yours down and come into this King James Bible thing and look to this Paul guy and throw out that other religion you've got. Because I like to talk to these Paul guys and say, you know, why do you say what you say and why is that important, for example, or whatever? Or maybe they're just trying to give the whole counsel of God. Well, I look at the whole counsel of God, by the way, to Paul. For me, the whole counsel of God is what Paul has to say. Now, the whole counsel of God also included what God had to say to the Jews, what God has to say to the tribulation guys. That whole Bible's there. That whole Bible is a counsel of God, but I want God to counsel me that I've got to turn to Paul. And the counsel of God that I need is Paul's teachings. I'll read that other stuff, no problem, but let's just not try to apply that. So if he's going to counsel me, he's going to counsel me through Paul. And that's where we get into our walk and a manner of life. And what we talk about as a church is the goodness of God. And they want to talk about his church and worship and music and have a good time and come on, be with us. We're going to have a puppet guy coming this next Sunday, so let's come over there and come on in and you can hear the gospel or become born again or just become religious or just come join our denomination. We can sure use you. We need the money. So, anyway, that's where we are these days. Boy, you're such an enlightenment, such an encouraging person to listen to, Paulson. I miss you all the days you're not online. I just want to have somebody come and just negate me downright. Well, it's great stuff when you realize that you're not being deceived. It should be. You should be excited. It may have changed your life and it causes problems and all this kind of stuff. Even if you have to be around it and you have to soften up and give in and watch out for those that are weak in the faith, you know, the whole battle that we go through. At least you know yourself, you are not being deceived. And yet we all have some more things that we have been deceived about that we need to deal with. And once we learn it, are we willing to deal with it? Well, we know that sin is in us. Still there. Don't let that deceive you. Don't let those evil communications out there deceive you. Don't let these people have good speeches and good words and fair speeches deceive you. Nice people, but hey, they're still lying to you. So anyway, there you go for the thing tonight, folks.